Well, Happy New Year to you all. I've tried to get to most of you this morning just to wish you, but I know looking around that I didn't get all of you, but I want to just tell you that good times are coming. And it's got nothing to do with the political scene that we're living in. It's got everything to do with God and His kingdom. So, let's get cracking on what I want to share with you today. Timing me, Shaw. Yeah. I just want to see if I can preach the longest sermon this year. All right. This morning's message is going to be on God's new thing. I want to give you a word of encouragement as we kick off this year. And so today, on the first day of 2023, as we think of where this year is going to take us, I'm sure some of you have already started getting concerned about what's lying ahead for you and all the rest. I thought it'd be wise for us to take a look back, just a couple of years, and then to use that as a springboard into where we're going into the future. I want to start off with a real serious note, so put on your serious face. The 2 years of COVID, 2020 and 2021, and followed by 2022, what I call the year of recovery, messed with our lives as a church family. Seriously did so. The effects were extremely negative. And as the government restrictions on meetings were announced, the following things started to take place. All our small group meetings ground to a halt. The sad thing is fear crept in and faith left. People had more trust in COVID than they had in God. I'm serious about that. And believers stayed away from almost every kind of meeting or contact even. You know, if you phoned somebody and said, well, can I pop in? No. No, 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 no. Even if you come in a space suit, we don't want you here. And so the whole fellowship started to crumble. And then, of course, many of the crucial ministries suddenly just came to a standstill. I mean, the church was fairly active, and all of a sudden you just heard the handbrake go up, kick, 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 and everything stopped. And so ministries like visitation, healing rooms, weekend healing retreats, youth ministry, ushers, prophetic ministry, pastoral counseling, and all those kind of things, and on, just ended. And then, of course, the church meetings were banned for a long time. And then once permission was granted for them to start again, it was 50 people. Now, I can tell you that 50 people is not a great number to have at a meeting, especially when you've got maybe 6 people on stage, 5 people in the sound room, so that's 11 gone already. And then you have the staff who have to be here, add another 10 people. So that's 20 people gone, so only 30 people allowed to come in. And we couldn't get the staff to stay at home because they'd missed church for 2 years. They wanted to earn their money. Yeah, interesting time. And in those 2 years of COVID, we lost 130 people who used to be part of this church. Before COVID started, we had almost 300 people in attendance every Sunday. Well, since March 2022, when the churches were opened up again, we have slowly grown to an average of 150 people here on a Sunday. So that means basically half the people gone. Okay? And the attendance has grown slowly from 50 to 80, then 100, and 120, and then 140. And thank you, Lord, we at least hit the 150 mark. Now, Christmas Day was a blowout. Doing the calculations again, we found out that we had 194 people here. Now, that's good. But now it's New Year's Day, and most people stayed away for Bronnewein and Coke and other stuff and to watch the fireworks that they weren't supposed to have. And so this morning they are still drowsy. But maybe we'll get them back next week. It's a kind of roller coaster thing in attendance, eh? Then during the COVID time, we as staff learned to use multimedia to keep connected with members and were able to listen and watch our daily encouragement messages and Sunday teachings. And those of you who actually did watch them, you saw we tried. And that's about all I can say about it. But the limited numbers that actually watched the streaming and all that was a bit disappointing. You know, on Facebook, when people are logged in, you can see how many people are actually watching. And when you stream a Facebook on a Sunday and there's four people watching, and one of them is David Burgess, who's running the streaming, that means three other people are watching. You kind of feel, yeah, man. So all the folks watching the streaming were very few. And then, of course, one of the tough things, our church income has dropped by over 100,000 rand a month. And that's a 25% drop in income. We used to average 380,000, and now it's 290,000. Just to share something with you, we were very sad when we lost two staff members who decided God wanted something else for them, and they resigned. It was a blessing, because we couldn't pay their salaries if they stayed, because that 100,000 rand would have gone towards paying them. So, you know, when you look at the things, there are times that look like very disappointing things, but God is the orchestrator of His church. God knew what's going to happen. And He knows what's going to happen for the rest of this year already. And we just need to patch in and let Him share with us. So the bottom line of all of this stuff that I share with you briefly is that in all my years of being a pastor, and it's over 50 years, I've never faced difficulties like the last 3 years before. Never. I've gone through some rough stuff, you know, church fights, people leaving all huffed and puffed up, little groups of people ducking off, little bit of infighting here and there. That's the normal things that pastors go through, and people dying that shouldn't, and others not dying that should, and, you know. You either love me or leave me, right? You know, so it was tough. On the staff, it was very tough. For me, a guy who never misses a Sunday meeting, to not have a Sunday meeting for 2 years was like, I mean, I felt like going into the backyard and just preaching to the grass. So it was a tough time, but it's not over yet. We have a current problem, all of us. Except a few people. There's a few people here who do not know what I'm speaking about. Because where they live, it doesn't happen. Okay? So added to our suffering in recent months, we have faced the Eskom problem with load shedding. Now, fortunately, we were able to get our big generator repaired so that we can deal with blackouts on Sundays. We tried the little jobs, you know, and just couldn't handle it. So we fixed the big one, cost us 60,000. But now I want to tell you the good news. Two Sundays ago, Rudy, who normally sits right in front here with his wife Elise, Rudy came to me after the service and he said, "We're not using the capacity of our generator." You know, because we never switched on any air cons. We never used the urns. We came early in the morning to boil the water to make sure it's ready for tea and all that kind of stuff. Because in our mind, we're thinking small generators. And so, the Tuesday after that, Tuesday, the 20th of December, Ron and I did a test. Boy, was Rudy correct. We switched on air cons. We put on the geysers. We put on all the urns and the kettles and everything that we could switch on in the church, in the office block, and in the hall. And the generator just doom, 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 like saying, "What's wrong with you guys?" And so, so I just want to say that Rudy was so correct. And although he's not here, thank you, Rudy. No more hot church meetings. I can't believe that we didn't figure that one. That's probably my phone ringing. And it's not God. Yeah, pizza for the whole... Eesh. Now, while I was thinking about this generator and us not using the full capacity, I had to personalize it for myself first, and then I thought, well, I'll take a shot at you as well. So maybe there's a challenge for us in the fact that the generator was not running at its full capacity. Something like our spiritual lives just ticking over and not running at full capacity. And sometimes we're not using the full potential we are created for. Oh yes, the lights are on. You know, the generator's ticking. The lights are on. And we can say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, how are you? Blessed." But inside we're a total mess. God wants to change us so that we're running. He wants to put his load on us. So right, preparing the way forward. Now this is some of the good news. Over the past 6 months since July the 1st, the preaching staff have been sharing a number of different sermons that have been designed to help us to move, well, prepare ourselves first, and to move into a fresh experience of God in this church family. So I just want to run through stuff that we've been teaching, and we really believe, you know, that we were doing what was right. We don't have one of those church situations where the preaching staff on a Saturday night decide, "I wonder what I'm going to preach on tomorrow." Ours is planned in advance, checked with God, checked with one another, and so we went through some subjects, like what is revival, do we need it, the key to revival, praying for revival, our inheritance, and stepping into it. Pentecost and its relevance for us today. Vital questions for the local church. How God speaks to us so that we know His will. The Great Commission, and stewardship. Grace makes the impossible possible. What is a spirit-filled Christian? Our identity in Christ, and where do I fit in? And we had a weekend seminar on this. A passion for his presence and supernatural faith. And then power and character, the two legs of ministry. And then the last couple of weeks, we've been on Father's love. Now, all of these teachings preparing us for 2023. Those are little building blocks. The foundation has been laid. We're on building with bricks now to build a strong family where the faith is right. We're working together. We all buy into the same thing, and we move with God. That's our intention. And I believe right now we are standing on the brink of an amazing work of God, not only in this church, but all over the world. God is saying the same thing worldwide. And I'll tell you why. The church belongs to God. COVID messed with it. He's going to now put it back far stronger than it ever was. So, the promise of God's new thing. I believe God's message for us today is a message that comes out of the Old Testament, which he shared with his people many years ago, but it's still relevant because as it comes alive to us, it's as fresh as it now as it was then. And this is what God said I need to share. Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. I like the New Living Translation. It says, but forget all that. And that's talking about the past. It's nothing compared with what I'm about to do. I mean, I like that. Now, one of the problems that a lot of people have is they live in the past. Chuck the past away. It's 2023. You are now living towards 2024. You understand that? Don't go back to live in the past. Because you'll kill your faith. Now, I believe there's a divine seed of hope in these words from God. Because God is telling us he's going to do a new thing. And if it was just this church, then you could say, oh, yeah, all right. What did he have to drink this morning in his coffee? It's worldwide, like I said. Great expectation in the Christian church that God is about to do amazing stuff. And so he states his intention in terms of a promise. He's going to do it. Okay? We know the scripture where God began a good work in you and he will complete it. Whatever God starts, he finishes. So when God says, I'm going to do a new work, he's going to do a new work. And nothing's going to stop him. Nothing. So I really believe that 2023 is going to be an amazing year as we allow Jesus to lead us into revival and restoration. And God promises to bring his plan for our lives to fruition, which gives us ultimate satisfaction. Can you imagine living through 2023 and you know the presence of God, that God is with you and you are doing everything he's asked you to do? I mean, that is awesome. Okay, you're allowed to wake up now. I want you to understand that Father God transforms despondency into expectancy. Because a lot of people are despondent with the church. But God's changing that. And so I want you to understand that God is rebuilding his church. And I look back to COVID and I say, COVID was a good thing. And a lot of people look at me and say, you're mad. No, it was good. You see, a pastor can't go around to people in the congregation and say, hey, you don't fit, leave. You don't fit, leave. You're not even trying to trust Jesus. Go. And so COVID comes in and just shakes the whole place up. And there's a remnant that are left. The ones that are still believing and clinging to Jesus. And even if it's half of the tribe, that's more than enough for God to do amazing things. So although I'm sad that we lost like 150 people, I'm glad that you're still here. Okay? because if you weren't, I'd be looking for a job. And who wants to hire somebody over 75 years old? I don't see anybody queuing up to offer jobs. So I also believe that when we look at the world has gone bad. I mean, it's horrific. There's no appreciation of human life. It's basically out there, kill or be killed. I mean, you listen to the news. If you ever look at a newspaper, it's horrible. God's got a family that is an alternative society to the one that we live in. And that family is the church. And he's going to build his family so that it eradicates all the junk that's in this world. And if you read Christian history, you'll find time after time when the world got bad, God brought revival. I just think quickly in one of the revivals in Ireland, they closed all the taverns. All the bottle stores closed down because the people didn't go drinking. They went praising God. They went to church. Now, only God can do that. And I believe he's going to do some great stuff. I mean, you know, I just think South Africa has a horrific use of alcohol. I mean, we're one of the worst in the world. I don't think people drink water anymore because maybe they think the water's not good. Maybe it isn't. You know, so, yeah. And too much of that kind of stuff and lots of bad things happen in families and all the rest of it. So South Africa needs to change. And the only team that can do it is Team Jesus. So it doesn't matter who you vote for, humanly speaking, as long as you vote for Jesus. So I believe that the church is going to become extremely strong and will be an influence to change society. All the corruption that we have in our country needs to come to an end. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God brought all those people who caused the corruption to know him and then told them, pay back the money? Oh, that could be fun. Okay, I won't go that way. You know, I've got to keep my humor down, right? So with prophetic words that have been spoken in the church here, shared with me outside of these four walls, I have really no doubt that we are moving into a new experience of God's grace. So let me just share some of the things that I see happening. We're going to see more of the membership of this church seeking the presence of the Lord in their lives and ministry, seeking refreshing and revival. Now I'm talking about you and me. We're going to see more of it. We're not just going to be pew sitters. We're going to be oozing God's grace and power. The youth ministry is about to take off. We've been introduced to a program called Reach for Life, and that's going to make a great impact on our young people. And actually, the program will also help parents to help their kids steer through all the challenges they face as they grow up. And so parents are actually a vital part of this program. And parents, if you want to help your kids, which a lot of parents are not doing, then listen for the adverts and the notices about the program. And you can actually work with your children and even young adults to help them cope with the challenges of life. So that's going to be brilliant. We haven't had a youth ministry going for nearly 2 years or more actually. And so when that gets going, we're going to see God working wonderfully amongst us. Now, the small groups are going to be restored. And people are going to get together. And so in the weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to embrace 40 days in the Word, which we're expecting all members to sign up for. If you're a member, I want you to fill in a form. And if you don't want to come to the small group meeting, you can fill in the form and write at the bottom, "I don't want to go to that meeting." And I will send the mafia to come and gently persuade you. Healing retreats are going to be restored this year. The healing rooms have already made a comeback, but we need to press further. The healing prayer ministry and healing rooms will receive more input on a monthly basis. And as well as video teachings that they can do in their own time. We want a strong team of people who can cope with those who are going to be coming in who need counseling and need prayer. And then I'm going to kick off the leadership training, the School of the Prophets, and other key programs will also start up. And then going with this, a whole series of sermons are going to be preached by the preachers, helping us to be more effective in sharing the good news. And so there will be a greater expectation for signs and wonders and miracles happening outside of the walls. Okay? Because what we're going to help you to do is to do it outside the walls. Not yet in safe land, out there where it's tough, where we're meant to go. There are going to be more prayer gatherings. I mean, if we call for a prayer meeting today and say, everyone who wants to pray, come tonight at 6 o'clock. Shah will be the only one here. And KD. Yeah. And then, of course, there's going to be growth in the music group. More people are going to be on stage here, singers, musicians. Great stuff is coming our way. The restoration of ushers and greeters. Ushers and greeters just fell apart with COVID. We're going to restructure them. Actually, you're all acting so well as ushers. I mean, visitors come in and they say, "Huh? We got greeted, we got hugged." You guys are brilliant greeters. One of the comments of somebody was that after they came to the service and they got hugged so much, they said, this is home. Love makes an impact, eh? And then, of course, I believe we're going to see God do a lot more than what I've just been sharing. But the expanding of the catering ministry is going to have to happen, because special events are going to be taking place. All the healing retreats and all the rest, so we need more people to help. And then, of course, there's going to be more people joining the church. These chairs are going to be full. And then we'll unpack some of the other chairs that are stored and start putting them at the back. God didn't convince us to add this section to the original church because he just wanted us to meet in a big place. God wants to fill this place with his family, with people who need him, who want him. And so this place will be filled. Now, we're not going to rent a crowd, but you're going to help by bringing your friends and family. Oh, hopefully you got friends. You probably have family. Just bring them. Let them encounter God. But God will bring others in. There's so many people who joined this church just because they drove past and God said, I want you to go there. Can you believe that? Yeah, true. And then we're going to continue with and expand our evening soaking meetings. Because I really believe God's going to do something wonderful. So sometime in January, we'll run the first one for this year, and then watch what happens. And then I'm trusting God, and I believe this with all my being, that God will increase our monthly income to more than the 100,000 that we've lost. You know, if you take 100,000 for 36 months times 100,000, that's how much money we didn't get. That's a lot of money, eh? You know, I could buy a nice ice cream with that. Massive fillet steak. And so I really believe that we're going to see God provide. So there are exciting times coming, and I want to encourage you. You see, God has revealed this, and like I said, it's worldwide. And we will be communicating more stuff with you. There's a lot that I'm not sharing today. There's some things that I have to share with you in the future. Serious, good stuff. But at the right time, we'll do it. So God has amazing plans for this family into the future. So now I want to get serious, just for a little while. I haven't been serious the whole time. Each of us has been given 8,760 hours to live and use in 2023. Okay. How are you going to use those hours? Sleep them away? Spend them fighting with your spouse? Watching soapies? Oh, whatever. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And so the Lord actually tells us to be very careful to be skillful, wise, on guard, looking very closely how we live. It's a discipline. It's got to do with planning. It's got to do with finding out from God what He wants you to do and building it into your everyday life. Now, God is eternal. He created time and placed us into it. And He's given us only 24 hours each day. Now, my time and what I do with it is the most valuable commodity that I have. Time marches on. It can never be slowed or stopped by me. There are times that I'm sitting working on a document or something and I say, hey, man, slow down. Because I've slowed down, I've got old. But the watch is not slowing down. It's keeping up its beat. And so, I sometimes just get frustrated. So time is out of my control. And no one receives more or less time than I receive. And so the reality of the thing is we have to figure out who decides how you spend your time. And the answer is simply, you do. Can't blame anybody else with how you spend your time. And I've got something just to remind you about. Remember that every moment you spend in the past is a moment you waste in the present. So if you're going to have a pity party today at home, and you're going to say, oh, well, you know, years ago I used to be happy and now I'm sad. Shut up. Stop it. Don't waste the present moment that you have. The psalmist, and I mean this was written long time ago, said 70 years are given to us, some even live to 80. Well, I've got quite a few people here pushing 80. Nah. Some have gone right over the top. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Nice thought. Question. What was this past year like for you? Was it filled with joy and peace or anxiety and stress? What were your time stealers? Are you willing to allow Jesus Christ to give you a new direction in your life? Question two. Are you going to be part of the future growth of this church by your commitment to membership and ministry? Or are you going to use this family church for your own 10cc spiritual injection on a Sunday, which might last till Monday? And you will forget the sermon by Tuesday. So coming back to the verse that I believe the Lord reminded me of and pointed me to share today. But forget all that, the past. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And so I say for the third time this morning, we are on the brink of an amazing breakthrough. God has us in His sights to bring about renewal and build His church to give Him glory. And so I want to challenge you today, all of us, before everyone present and before the Lord, to press on towards this, to know God more. Make these kind of things your goal. To experience His love more. To experience His presence more. To find Him working through us more. And to touch more lives through Him, empowering us to do so. So let me go into what I call concussion, which other people call conclusion. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says this. And so we heard the Old Testament psalm, forget the past. Now we're dealing with Paul in New Testament times. And this is what he says. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So, let us believe God for the new thing in our lives. And then go forth to prove his adequacy in the coming days. And I want you to remember that with God, the best is yet to be. Yeah.